It's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill and Larry Holder.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Settle up and get your first shot of sports talk in the morning. Local sports, national sports, Larry and Gus are on it. Now, here with the hair of the dog, Gus Kattengill and Larry Holder.
Hour number three of the Sports Hangover. Of course, got us all the way to 1 o'clock. And at 1 o'clock, Hornets Media Day is set to start. And from all accounts, and of course, our Gus Kattengill will be over there getting all the juicy information. That probably won't be coming out because it doesn't sound like Chris Paul will even be at Media Day. And it sounds more and more like the Carmelo Anthony deal, where last year he did not participate in any of the promotional Denver Nuggets spots and that sort of thing. And probably pretty smartly for the Hornets that he's not doing this. Now, joining us right here on the Sports Hangover, longtime NBA reporter Chris Sheridan's joining us. He's got a new website, SheridanHoops.com. First off, Chris, really appreciate you jumping on the show. I know it's fast and furious all over the place as far as the NBA is concerned. First, before we get into Chris Paul, just let all the listeners know in New Orleans about SheridanHoops.com. I mean, it seems like there's a wealth of information there, wealth of established writers, and you're the editor-in-chief of the whole big shebang.
Well, I appreciate you giving me that opportunity, Larry, and I'll try to be brief because I know you guys want to talk and hear about Chris Paul. But
or do we? Maybe we've heard enough.
I was a lot of readers know me because I was the lead NBA writer for the Associated Press for 10 years, and then I was at ESPN and ESPN.com for 6 years, and then I left there this summer and I decided to start my own site and to hire my own staff. And after working for real big media companies, two of the biggest in the world for 16 years, I wanted to strike out on my own and be my own boss. So that's what I've done. I've hired a pretty really strong staff. A lot of you guys in New Orleans have heard of Mark Heisler. He was 35 years at the LA Times. He's my Monday columnist. He's got a nice piece up today comparing David Stern to Charlton Heston, of all things. And I got Jan Hubbard out of Dallas, and I got a writer in Barcelona. I have a writer in Beijing, and I'm not just covering the NBA, but covering a little bit of international ball as well, and trying to do a site the way I think a basketball website should be done, without without a lot of clutter that you see on the big sites, and without the corporate control that you see on the big sites. So check it out. It's a little different, but it's solid. There's no low quality content on SheridanHoops.com, and that's what I'm striving for and what I'm trying to build.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want content, that's the place to go. And yeah, like Chris said, it's not just NBA; it's basketball worldwide. And for a while there, you were having to track NBA players worldwide anyway. So good thing you had that going. But of course, Chris Paul, and I know you were asking our producer going into the before you jumped on the show about if Chris Paul is going to show up. It doesn't sound like he's going to show up to me. What in the world is the guy going to say? I mean, we know he wants out, but he's been stuck in limbo. He's been practicing anyway. But to me, it's not he shouldn't be involved in any of the promotional things for the Hornets anyway, because who knows what his future is. But as far as the latest news of what you're gathering, what's the latest in the Chris Paul saga from your end?
Well, the latest is that the league is pretty much having to undo the mistake of the veto, to be quite honest with you, because when David Stern vetoed that trade, number one, it was unprecedented. So nobody really knew what to say or how to react or where it goes from here. Number two, it was a good trade for the Hornets. They were bringing in not three starters like everybody says, four, because Goran Dragic is a starter. Goran Dragic is going to be a star in the NBA if he continues to develop the way he has been. A lot of teams have had their eye on him for a long time, so you would have had four starters on a number one pick, and you probably would have had a team that contended for a playoff spot and probably got one in the West. Now that was all undone by David Stern, and where do you go from there? And so they got to the point where Dell Demps basically had his power taken away from him by the league office. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I can tell you about the two guys who are negotiating for the Hornets now. One is Stu Jackson, and everybody kind of knows him as the league dean of discipline, and the other is Joel Liston, and he's one of the lead attorneys in the NBA's league office. He's been there for 20 years. His daughter goes to school with my son. He's a good guy, but he's not a general manager. And they're negotiating from a very difficult position in that they're not going to be able to get as good of a deal as what the Hornets would have got before the veto. And so that's sort of the odd dynamic in there. And then still in the fact that Chris Paul may very well have a strong lawsuit against the NBA for vetoing that trade, and and that threat of litigation has been out there implicitly now for about 4 days, and you get to the point where teams know that the pressure is on the league office now to get a deal done sooner rather than later, or put themselves at risk of getting sued by Chris Paul. So, you know, it develops day to day and really hour to hour, but at the end of the day, he wanted to come to the New York Knicks. They don't have the assets to get him. So he's going to go to the Clippers or he's going to go to the Lakers. That's my best reading on it. And, you know, when is that going to happen? I think Chris is going to get traded sooner than Dwight Howard's going to get traded. I'll say that for sure. And I think the reason why, probably more than anything else, is the threat of litigation hanging over the league office for David Stern having done what he did.
Chris Sheridan, editor-in-chief of SheridanHoops.com. Of course, longtime NBA reporter joining us right here on the Sports Hangover. Chris, literally while you were speaking, John Reed, I'm sure you know him from the Times-Picayune covering the Hornets, literally just tweeted, Hornets Media Day set to start at 1 p.m. Chris Paul is expected to be excused from participating. Chris, I know you've known David Stern for a long time. What do you feel like his motivation is to do all of this? To me, I've been saying this for the past few days because we've heard contraction with this team before. And to me, it's when the league bought the Hornets, when they saved George Shinn from debt, and David Stern came out and said all the right things, and that we wanted to keep the Hornets in New Orleans, wanted to find local ownership, this, that, and the other. And it seems to me that he's doing everything but trying to do that. And my theory, and it could be wrong, but it looks more like they're trying to contract the team by making the Hornets hang on to Chris Paul. And you don't think that's going to happen. But what is his motivation? I mean, it lends to thinking of that.
I'll tell you, Larry, here's David's thinking from afar. He's looking at the Hornets from afar, and he's saying, what's the number one asset that this team has? And their number one asset is Chris Paul. And he's trying to sell this team. So any buyer who's going to be looking at the Hornets is going to want to pay more for a franchise that has Chris Paul on it than the franchise that doesn't have Chris Paul on it. So the value of the Hornets goes down if they trade Chris Paul. He's the face of the franchise. And so I think that was David's motivation in vetoing the trade over anything. And I think it was another thing is, it was an emotional decision. That was the day they had the Board of Governors meeting and they ratified the agreement and they finished their revenue sharing plan. And David had really had a long 2 days. And then at the end of those long 2 days, it was 9 o'clock at night and he vetoed the trade. And sometimes you make decisions when you're tired that you wouldn't make the first thing in the morning. So yeah, I don't think you can discount that. But David sees the Hornets as more valuable with Chris there. But the fact of the matter is, if Chris is going to leave at the end of the year, and the Hornets let him go for nothing, then that's not a very valuable team.
Yeah, potential buyers aren't stupid. They know Chris Paul is going to be leaving.
Right. Well, so what are you going to get for him in the meantime? And is it a certainty that he's going to be leaving? Yeah, I would think so. Because the Dallas Mavericks look like they're setting themselves up to go get him. There's going to be a team that can max him out. Now, if the salary cap situation league-wide was set up so that Chris Paul wasn't going to be able to get max money somewhere else, then you call a bluff on it. But Chris can get the max money if he becomes a free agent. So, like you said, he's leaving. Or he's probably leaving. But anyway, that's where David's kind of coming from. But, you know, the truth of the matter is the Hornets are better off with a good team and a team that's a playoff contending team that's going to sell tickets and fill the house this year than they are with an unhappy Chris Paul who's, you know, not even showing up at media day. And there's a good reason why. He's got a lot of cleaning to do to the people in New Orleans why he wants to leave. And I think he's probably better served by showing up and facing the music and saying why he wants to leave. But obviously the organization made the decision, look, it's no secret they're trying to trade him. Let's just shut him up for a day and see if the trade goes through today or not. And, you know, to a certain extent, it's out of their hands because the trade's pretty much being handled by the league office now. So it's probably better to not start a brush fire by letting Chris talk today. That is the thinking of the Hornets PR department, and that's why you're not going to you're going to hear a lot of Monty Williams quotes today instead of Chris Paul quotes.
Chris Sheridan, editor-in-chief of SheridanHoops.com, longtime NBA reporter, joining us right here on the Sports Hangover. Well, Chris, throughout practice, Chris Paul's been there, and he's refused to talk to the media. And I feel like the people in New Orleans, they know the explanation. They know Chris is leaving. And I don't know if they need to hear his explanation. They know he wants out, and it's been out there, and he's deflected all this. He says he can't control the rumors, even though in my eyes he starts them. So, as far as that's concerned. Ultimately, does a trade happen, and who do you think it happens with?
I think ultimately a trade happens, and I think it's 50-50 that it's the Clippers or the Lakers. And I think it happens probably in 48 hours. I've gotten burned on putting the hour limits on predictions before, so maybe it's 72 hours. But
before the start of the league, the season.
Before the start of the season. And it's Wednesday. You know, I would think they would try to get this off their desk by Friday night. Okay?
And who are the Lakers? I know the name, some reports having Pau Gasol now involved. What are the Lakers offering?
Well, Pau Gasol is the guy with the salary who would match, who would be the more expendable of the Lakers' two big guys. And then I still think they want to take Bynum and put him with something else and get Dwight Howard. That's the Lakers' master plan. Having Lamar Odom used as a trade chip before certainly gave the Lakers a stronger hand, and now that they've traded him for nothing, they don't have much to give up as they did before. But if you're the Hornets, you got to get back somebody who's good. And Pau Gasol is a damn good player. He's 31, and he didn't have a great playoffs last year. But the year before that, he was the MVP of Game 7 of the NBA Finals. You know, when they beat the Celtics and somebody needed to make a play in the last 6 minutes of that game, the guy who made the play every single time was Pau Gasol, way more so than Kobe Bryant, who shot 6-for-24 in that Game 7. So Pau Gasol is a real good player. But he's 31, and he's not a player you can rebuild around. So I think that's the best piece that would come from the Lakers. And then if you're making the trade with the Clippers, number one, you got to get that draft pick that belongs to the Minnesota's pick. It's unprotected, and it'll allow you to have two lottery picks and a real strong draft. And then the other guy you absolutely have to have is Eric Gordon, the shooting guard. I covered him with Team USA in Turkey 2 summers ago in 2010. Guy's a hell of a player, a hell of a good guy. He's one of the most underrated players in the league because nobody really pays all that much attention to the Clippers. But you got to get Eric Gordon, and you got to get that Minnesota pick, and then you fill in the pieces around there with guys like Chris Kaman and maybe Al-Farouq Aminu, and that's about the best you're going to get out of the Clippers.
Chris Sheridan, editor-in-chief of SheridanHoops.com, of course, longtime NBA reporter. You got to check out SheridanHoops.com. I mean, it's a must. Great content all over the place. And Chris, great job with the new website. Hope for success in the future, and hope to chat with you again in the future once we get all this settled.
Okay, Larry, I appreciate that, and thanks for the plug and letting me talk about the site. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Chris Sheridan, appreciate it. Chris Sheridan of SheridanHoops.com right here on the Sports Hangover.